Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven. I am your host with a wonderful approach. Welcome to another wonderful Wednesday. We get it in. Wednesdays are the days that we take time to make sure that we're punching our spiritual checklist, going through, cleaning our shrines, keeping up with our journaling, doing our research. You know, it's almost our Sunday, but this is a little more challenging than Sunday. You know, we still got to wake up at the crack of dawn and still have to operate in this society's understanding of what a Wednesday is. And usually by Wednesday, we're a little on the tired side, so it has this little extra thing to push through. But we try to push through them. I hope everyone is gearing up for a Thanksgiving of sorts, whether you're just enjoying the day off with family or if you're able to, whether just enjoying the day off with family or whether you're the one doing the cooking or if you're on those highways and byways. Have a wonderful day. Make it a wonderful day. Choose for it to be a wonderful day. I had my last Thanksgiving with family. It was a monumental Thanksgiving. And almost at the very end, we got caught up and missed how important it was. And Spirit was there to remind us, hey, there's something else going on. You know, there's something more going on than what your small eyes are seeing right now. And I'm so glad that, you know, I have that sort of relationship with Spirit that can nudge me even when I needed to be nudged. So it was a wonderful day and everything else like that. So for everyone out there traveling, getting it in, no matter what you're doing between today and tomorrow, be safe in it. Be joyful in it. You know, have a wonderful experience, because our mindset, our perception of things is what makes it wonderful. It is. We had a wonderful show last week. We were speaking with our wily teenager, Sister Prentice, and it was a wonderful evening. We spoke about auras and chakras, and boy, it was a proud mama moment. We were able to get in, get some good information going. It's so wonderful to see students studying. You know, I will call myself a forever student. I'm always studying. I'm always trying to connect the dots here and there, make this happen, make that happen. I work very hard to make sure that I'm doing a good job. And when I see those, I'm encouraging, okay, let's work on this, let's study this. And when you see that thing bloom, it is a thing of beauty. And that was last week's show. I didn't know what to expect, because when you have a wily teenager, you don't really know what to expect. I've been surprised more than once. And so it was wonderful to see those studies come forward. And, you know, just to have that information come back to the collective and give us some more information for us to grow on. So, you know, all of those, you know, and with a wonderful approach, everyone has their topic. Everyone has their field of study, and not many have the same. You know, there's quite a few different ideals and topics and areas of study, and that's what makes Wonderful Approach so wonderful, because we get the benefit of everyone's study. It filters back into the whole, back into the collective, and we get the benefit, because it is 100% benefit. So it was wonderful. Tonight we have our baby, a Wonderful Approach. We have a baby. We have a toddler, really. She's a toddler. But, you know, she's a toddler because she gets all the goo-goo love, okay? She gets all the sweetness and everything else like that. And she's going to be sharing with us our today's topic. Today's topic is, I have to kind of explain it to you. I want to, before I bring my lovely co-host, who's anxiously waiting in the wings for me. Today's topic, we're talking about our faithless angels. And our faithless angels are those children that did not make it down the birth canal, or those children that were born but did not live very long. And we have to talk about this. This is something that impacts almost every family. It impacts families, and sometimes they don't even know it. There are physical impacts, emotional, of course, spiritual. And unfortunately, this is one of those things that people just kind of brush under the rug, you know, because of shame, guilt, whatever the reason. And we can't. It's too big to brush under the rug. It's too important to brush under the rug. We're supposed to be learning from those experiences and sharing them and getting support through them. But it is something that is consistently hush-hush and consistently forgotten about, and causes a lot of emotional strain, a lot of emotional pain, and anything that you deal with that carrying this type of energy will morph into something not positive, because it's covered in all this secrecy and pain. And I don't know how anything can be positive under those conditions. So what we have to do is remove some of that, talk about it, share, be of support to each other when these types of things occur. We have to take this out of the shadows and begin to create some healing and some ease about this. We got to let our little young sisters know you ain't by yourself, and there's ways to deal with this. So without further ado, we're going to bring in our co-host and just going to be reminded in remembrance that this is a touchy subject. So we're going to be as gentle as we can, but yet we're going to do righteous, okay? It can't be a wonderful approach if we don't actually say the thing, do the thing. We got to hit it on the head. So let me get my co-host who is being ever so patient. Let's see if I can grab him. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, family. How are you?
We are well. And yourself?
I am good. I'm trying to keep my nerves under wraps, but I'm here.
Oh, this is the easy part now, because from here on, we're just having conversations. We're going to have some friends pop in and out. It's all wonderful. But, this is one of your first times on the radio, and I was going to let you get away with not speaking. I believe everyone has something to teach, and everyone has a value to share, and I wasn't going to let you get away with that, because I know that you have so much, but you're just waiting for a platform. So here you go, dear, platform.
So, yes, I listen often, and there's those moments where I want to kind of, like, chime in and say something. Like, you know what, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to hear what everybody else has to say. And I knew you weren't going to let me get away but for so long. So
exactly.
This is my opportunity. And, of course, this is a conversation that is very near and dear to my heart and to my spirit, to my womb as well. I have lost children, you know. On paper, I'm a mother of seven, but I physically have one child that came to this plane. And that doesn't negate the children that did not pass through here, but it's something that has to be reflected upon, something that has to be considered, something that has to be remembered. And like you said, there are families everywhere that are impacted by this. It's not something that's, you know, localized to just the Americas or, you know, third world countries. Every family has had this happen. In my own family, just in the last three generations of my grandmother, my mother, and myself, we've all lost a child. And so it's very prominent, very present, and we don't get to talk about it. It's things that, you know, get pushed away, and or it's, you know, we have when's your child coming? Your child comes. Oh, they didn't have it. Don't say anything about it. They're still kind of touchy-feely.
Yes,
or it doesn't ever get said, well, you know what, it's okay for you to have loss. It's okay for you to feel that way. It's okay for you to be angry or to have despair or feel like at that moment that it's not going to happen for you. So I can attest that it does, but sometimes there are challenges, there are things that occur that make it a little bit more difficult for others. And so we have to respect those, and we have to honor that. So I wanted to start by reading a poem. And this poem was created after my last loss. This child was given to me, and we made it about 6.5 months. And freak of nature, freak accident, I had a placental abruption, and this child was born, lived for 24 hours and ascended back to his home. So this is the poem that was given to me after he transitioned. I saw my stomach grow. I felt you every day. I viewed you on ultrasound. I watched you kick and wave. Little did we know, soon you'd have to go away. Little did I know that morning that God would call us both, but only one of us had to go. But when you heard him first, what you said to God, I will never know. Mommy, you must stay, for I have to go. Daddy can't lose us. He can't lose us both. And for your exchange, he gave you a few hours on earth with those who loved you most. Before you ever took one step, you gave your life for mine. You will always be my guardian angel. Oh, how your light so shined. Whatever it was you said to God, my little warrior, he granted your request. He sent me back and gave you a few moments before your eternal rest. Mommy, do not cry. Daddy, do not weep. I am always with you. I watch over you while you sleep. I am who I am, who I was always meant to be. I am your son, forever at peace. Perfect and wonderfully made, you entered into this realm, but you were just too important to God, too important to stay. For a little while, an angel walked among the living. And though you said not one word, you changed my life in every way. So God granted your request. One more, if you please. Watch out for my son as he watched out for me. Sage Amir Matthew Gordon, no love greater will it ever be.
So, yeah, that is a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a whole lot. Yes. I know one thing you said. When a baby comes, the community gets ready. We're excited. We want to hear about the name. We want to know about the sex of the baby. You know, we prepare space and room, and we talk to the other siblings. We do all of that. And we are, you know, we're surrounding this baby with joy and love and expectations. You know, we're reading to, I read to my bellies, and I mean, the whole nine. And when the baby does not make it for divine purposes, we have to understand it's a divine purpose. God is the one that calls people home, period. But when the baby doesn't make it, there's still a mourning that is needed, but we don't do that. As a community, we hush, be quiet, and we can't. You know, it's confusing. You know, it's confusing for the child that is lost, because just because its body is lost doesn't mean that that child detaches from the parent. Or I have two, and one is attached to one of his siblings. And I'm like, dude. So, yeah, and I'll see it. I'm like, what? Because I'm like, both of them are my child. So, what are you doing? You know, it's the strangest thing, but I've seen this faceless angel, and he is attached to his brother. He's like, you can do whatever, I'm chilling with him, you know. And
I got
so,
him. I got him.
Yeah, I got it, and that's what he is. He's an extra guardian angel. Now, it was torture to lose him. But to know
yes.
that my son gained an angel, I understand that. I understand the DNA connection. I understood why it had to come down at that time. I understand it was still painful. And a lot of times, women aren't allowed to express a lot of pain because it scares people. It's like, wait a minute, this woman who has been a rock, you know, she's carrying life inside of her. She's dealing with contractions. Mm-hmm. She's doing this. She's doing that. What do you mean you're trying to cry? You know, what do you mean you're going through this emotion? What do you mean you have these feelings? You know, and so our society is trained for women, you know, you can cry a little bit, but not a lot. You can mourn a little bit, but we'll try. And know what they say? You can try again. And I'm sitting here like, I just tried. You know, I don't know if you're giving me the credit for the effort that this just took, telling me to try again.
Correct.
This took everything. I'm half a person.
Yep.
The other half of me is somewhere in spirit land right now. So what do you mean try
it's
again?
That much.
is that okay? Okay. So, you know, unfortunately, there's not enough support in the middle of these transitions. It's just not. If it takes nine
Correct.
Months to have nine, it's 9 months and 4 weeks. I'm like, well, wait a minute, y'all. Doesn't that mean that there's 10 months? But no, they don't say it's 10 months. They say 9 months and
right.
4 weeks. So if it takes that long for them to get here, if they need that long to mature and to grow, just imagine spiritually all of the bonds that are being put into place. Those bonds don't disappear overnight. You know, there.
Yeah.
I mean, there comes a time you almost get attached to even having a belly. So when you have the baby, it's like, oh no, it's over there kicking the belly. What used to be right here in front of me in this neat little container here is over there hollering. Okay, so
yeah.
You know, the whole process, you are adjusting and you're learning how, as you're going through the process. So to have that abruptly interrupted. It takes so much for your mind and for your spirit to understand really what happened. And that's just us. That's just the mother. That's not
Correct.
The baby. That's not the father that we got to talk about. That's not the family who we got to talk about. You know, we this is just the woman and this child, and we don't know what's going on. So how is anybody else really going to be able to support, you know? And then spiritually, we know babies, a lot of our children, because I've seen, I got one old man, their ancestors returned. They're coming back
yes.
to our lineage. And so my
yes.
question is, what just happened? I'm here trying to do my part. What happened? So a lot of times this loss can create just as many questions and hard feelings. Honestly, some insecurities, as you know, because the baby didn't make it all the way through. In half a second, I want to talk to. I got to speak on for my women who don't have children. In our culture, women that don't carry children, whether they intended to or not, they have some difficulties. Understanding their role as women. You know, just because you have a child doesn't make you a woman. And because you don't have a child, it doesn't make you a woman. But in our culture, a lot of times they will look at you as if there's something wrong when you don't have a child. And so this idea of losing children, it affects everything, even your status as a woman, which is something, one, you didn't ask for, and I don't think you can be denied that. I don't know. We'll have to have some callers call in and tell us if that is a necessary validation into womanhood. Me, one, having children, you know, what everybody else would call late in life, but having children later, I thought I was a grown woman before I had children. But I know culturally speaking, oh no, you could have told me nothing. You still can't. But, you know, especially at that time, I thought, well, whatever. But, you know, culturally speaking, they question that. So, but what happens yes. when you've tried and your body isn't, has not been able to, or, you know, for whatever marriage reasons, the union wasn't ever able to, you know, so does that diminish your capacity as a woman, you know?
It does not. And, well, in my perspective, it does not, because it doesn't diminish you as a parent either. Just because the child did not transition fully does not make you any less of a parent. The moment that that child was conceived, thought about, processed, all of that, you go into parent mode. Your spirit connects with the divine, and that divine spirit connects with you. And so from that moment on till whatever the outcome may be, from that moment you are a mother if you're a woman. From that moment you are a father. But those people aren't always included in what we consider as parents because their physical child isn't here. They're parents. They should get, you know, birthday cards. They should get Father's Day cards, Mother's Day cards. If we're having a Mother's Day luncheon, she should be invited. Father's Day luncheon, he should be invited. If the fathers go off on a fishing trip, he should get to go. That makes him no less of a father because his child didn't transition here. That just meant that something else transpired and the Most High needed that child or that spirit on the other side. It could have just been that that child was sent here briefly to mature, to acquire some knowledge and return to be a better guardian angel for another person in the line. You never know what happens, but that doesn't make them any less of a parent because it's not there or the child is not there.
We have to stop equating. I have a problem with a lot of the judgments that come forward and the way things are measured. Okay, I have a hard time with that. You know, so mm-hmm. no, I don't believe that a person's worth is dictated by money, status, how many children you have. I know lots of idiots that have lots of babies, okay? So I don't, you know, that's not the only measurement of having children. And I granted, I get it because I've heard the speech, you know, having children, you learn this, you learn that, that is correct. But what I find is that a lot of the women and men that don't have birth children, they do a whole lot of nurturing with others' children. Like I have a sister who has no children, and she's a professional auntie, okay? She got auntie dad, okay? And for our professional auntie, and she knew she wasn't going to have any children, okay? And we were like, are you sure? She's like, absolutely. You see how expensive those things are? but she's a professional auntie. She does her auntie job, and she does it with such vigor, okay? We love it. We love it. We have to start allowing for that in our community. We have to start looking at mothering because I know plenty of mothers that have given birth that are struggling in their mother duties, okay? And so we have to stop allowing strictly the birth of the child to dictate really a status of mother. You know, I just this past November, I assumed the role of Mama 7. You know what I'm saying? I upgraded from Sister 7 to Mama 7. It's a very big deal. I had to think about that, and it took a whole year of planning for those people who were initially part of the spark that went from the spark to the seed to the seedling, which is now. But you saw when that was planted in charge to me, and when I accepted it, and then when I actually moved into the role, it was almost a year. It might have been 9 months. I need to go back and check that. But it was not, you know what I'm saying? It was not something that I immediately moved into. It was something that I allowed to mature within, And then I was like, okay, now it's time to birth this Mama 7, this elevated 7 idea. But even though I thought I was doing the work anyway, I still allowed for the process of it, you know, so that I could fully make sure that when it does come, I am prepared as possible. I want to talk about, sure. This is something, Nisi, that you and I spoke about off air, and I'm like, we got to talk about this on air. We got to talk about the men.
Yes.
Children are lost in numerous ways, okay? Some of them are miscarried. Some of them are miscarried before the mother even kind of realizes that she's pregnant. Some of them are miscarried up until birthing time. And then some of these angels are actually birthed. They come through the birthing canal, but they don't stay. And then there's a very large population, very large, babies that are voluntarily, sent back. They're aborted. And there's a lot of them. Out of that population, a lot of the men do not know about that. That is something I cannot tell a woman what to do with her body. Don't come ask me for no child support. I'm basically trying to feed mine. I'm not going to be able to feed you. You're going to get some rice and peas like these boys got. That's all I got for you, okay? But, you know, it is, I can't sit here and say you got to. I can't sit here and say that you can't. But out of that population, there are a lot of men that do not know that they've had these attachments come into place and the attachment was broken. So share with us what you were saying about that earlier.
So there are fathers, some of them unknown, some of them known, some of them lifetime partners, some of them short-term partners, some of them, you know, are the experiment from, you know, an overnight rendezvous. But nevertheless, they are the fathers of these children. And as Mama Seven was saying, there are multiple ways for children to be lost. You have the unknown babies that nobody even knew that the mother was pregnant or the family was pregnant. You have the miscarriages, which are considered, you know, up to, you know, 20 weeks. These are known. And even in those cases, there are times that the fathers are not, you know, notified that the mother is carrying. You have, you know, stillbirths, which are children that are carried after 20 weeks up to birth, and when they're born, they are not with us, but physically there is a body that transitions. And then we have those children that are birthed and for a short amount of time are among us and then, you know, transition back. But the attachment comes into play the moment that there is a spark of life. And from that moment, there is a spiritual connection between the mother and the father in this life. And that spirit communes with both parents. Whether he knows or not, it communes with both parents. And so, yes, you can't tell a mother what to do with her body. You can't tell her what should happen within her spirit. However, sometimes we as women, because we're the carriers, we feel as though the decision is definitively ours. And to some degree, yes, but at the same time, no. Because once that connection is made to that father, that child connects to that father. And they don't let go. So these men are walking around having these children, these faceless angels that are attaching themselves to them, who want to communicate with them. Because the child hasn't just said, you know what, I'm done, I'm gone, I don't exist anymore, I don't have anything to do with you. That child was sent to that parent for a reason. He was sent to that father. She was sent to that father for a reason. And there is something that that child has to give to that parent. And we wonder why sometimes there are our men that are walking around and they're constantly angry, and they kind of, you take it as being broken and distracted and, you know, acting immaturely and things like that. These are remnants of situations that have been taken upon that they themselves may not even know, simply because they never knew this child even existed.
Yeah.
And so if they don't know, outside of having someone who has a spiritual sense, has spiritual eyes, someone who is empathetic, someone who can read them to tell them, you know, you got, you know, a couple people hanging on who got some things to say, or you got some unresolved issues over here, they will never know what these turmoils that they're internally facing are. And it's not fair in that, because their spirit is being jeopardized by something that they cannot see. They feel it, but they can't put a name on it. It's just this feeling that they have that is ever present.
Just like I've met a grown man who had a sibling attached to him. But of course, he grows up, this spirit does it. And so, you know, I was like, man, this child is like right here. He said, I ain't had no babies. Nope, nope, it's not me. It's not me. And I'm like, okay. And I mean, after this thing showing up in two or three readings, I said, okay, you got to do some research, because this energy wants to be recognized. Come to find out, he had lost the, his mother had lost the child. Maybe a year after him. And so that is what caused that relationship. But I have seen grown men cry, just tears, from coming into the knowledge that they've lost a child that they didn't know about. They weren't given any information on, you know, they weren't able to spiritually, mentally, or emotionally process. And, I'm not saying that, you know, don't make this decision or make this. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is that everyone deserves the knowledge of this information, you know. And a lot of our men are burdened with things they don't know anything about. They don't know anything about. You know, they're not able to create new spiritual understandings. It's just not a good process. It's not a good policy. We've got to evolve out of that. So we got to talk about the men folk in how they have, they're carrying this weight, whether they know it or not. Whether they consciously.
But you also have to talk about
me. I think I'm a nice person. I would like to avoid you the pain. So sometimes there are people that would say, just so you, I'll bear all the emotional pain, blah, blah, blah. I'll spare you. That's still not your choice.
Right.
That's not your option. That you don't have the power to spare someone that information, because that information is necessary for their growth and development. You know, so you're trying to spare somebody a lesson. You don't get to do that.
Yeah. True. You also have to look at how impactful it is for the men who do know. There are some men who are, we're having a baby, oh my God, they're all in it. You know, they building cribs and calling uncles, and they tearing down trees and making all type of stuff because, you know what, my baseball players come in, my little cheerleaders happening, and it hits them like a ton of bricks. And women and men grieve totally different. And because men and women are innately different just by makeup, men are more introverted kind of with their feelings. It shows up externally in their actions. Women take everything in and they keep it in and they hold it in and they process it. It's like, I can take it emotionally, you can't take it, so I'm not going to do it. But men naturally go to, I could not protect you from this. I could not protect my family from this. There was no way for me to stop it, to make it happen. And to see the person that they're with go through that pain, it bothers them. It hurts them. And they internalize that hurt. And some of them never get past it because it is such a detrimental thing to their male psyche that without having a means to express it in, you know, therapy or bonding with other men that have had this happen, they just don't cope well with it. There's women who don't cope well with it. One, much less the women who go through this multiple times over before they actually have their child. So it's not our choice to take away someone's experience, as you know, with childhood. Everyone experiences things different, and we have to allow that window to be open for them to take that on. And we have to give people the opportunity to process and grieve the way that they can. Even if it takes, it may be past your time, but they still have their time.
You said the way that they can. That's so key. The way that they can. That doesn't mean that they're going to do it or do it well. That doesn't mean that, okay? But it means that it's still theirs to do. You know, I want to talk about, and we haven't gotten to the family. We're going to get to it. We're touching some of the spirit part. But, you know, I want to get to the point where we can talk about, I guess we're not going to talk about that just yet.
Okay.
I had it right there. It totally was like, nope, not yet. You know, so.
Okay.
It was right there. It was right there. But no, I guess we're not going to talk about it yet. So, but we have a caller that would like to speak. And we are, of course, a community. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you would like to join our conversation, please press 1. We'd love to hear from you. This is a community of learning and sharing. We learn by sharing and we share for learning. And so, you know, this is all personal. This is all real time, live time. We're all in this with the hopes that we can grow and build with each other, okay? So I do want to go to the phone lines a little bit and so we can come back to our conversation, okay, sister?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Greetings. Welcome to the show. Greetings. Are you with me? Hello? Okay, we'll have to come back. I don't know what. All right, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yes. Am I on?
Yes, you are on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. This is my first time calling.
Yay!
And it's so relevant.
Yes.
I'm calling, yes. to give you some background, I had a child at 18, gave her up for adoption. She found me at 24, and at 20, she had an abortion. So that would have been my first grand. So she is 49 now. That child would have been 29. And she has not had any other children, never got married. And she had been having some struggles in her life. And I was concerned, and because things were not going well for her, that I felt as though she needed to do a ritual to ask for forgiveness for shortening that particular spirit's life, and without maybe I'm saying it incorrectly, but not getting permission to she didn't have a right to take that life. When she did follow my instructions and did a ritual of cleansing and forgiveness, and so now that I'm listening to you beautiful spirits speaking on these angelic beings coming, some of them don't arrive, Some of them do. Some of them come stillborn. Not that I'm asking for correction as to she found out through another reading that she was not meant to have children. That wasn't her purpose and her role. But however, I feel as though she made a cognizant decision to shorten that particular being's life, and maybe the ancestors were not pleased with her for doing that. I'll just speak on that from what the information that I gave you. And thank you so much for this conversation.
And sister, let me ask you, tell me your name.
Akua.
Akua. Akua, we want to welcome you to A Wonderful Approach. We do this every Wednesday, okay? So please, from the sound and the energy that you are giving off, I would love to have you join us again, okay?
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. I will program it in. This is on my day.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, what the sister was speaking about is so heartbreakingly real. You know, I remember growing up, I was like, man, the definition of parenthood is guilt. You know what I'm saying? It's guilt. You know, I remember being a young mother. I had sent Solomon out to daycare, and I realized I didn't put an undershirt on him, and I called my mom crying. I was like, oh, they're going to take my Mother of the Year award. It did have a T-shirt. And she was like, huh, you think that's going to get your award taken away, you know? And she's like, you know, they don't really have awards. And I'm like, well, what am I doing all this work for, okay? Parenting is guilt. Even if you don't parent, it's guilt. If you do parent, it's guilt. There's so much strength that's needed in support. I'm so glad that your daughter had you in her life to help her process emotionally the guilt involved with making that decision. Because I have seen people that have lost, and basically at that point their life takes on a different path, a different kind of turbulent, up and down kind of roller coaster ride, and because there is unfinished business, because there is a demand for healing, absolutely there are rituals that are needed and rituals that are done to promote healing in the midst of this loss, whether the loss was voluntary or involuntary. And it is painful. Oh, it is something. I mean, every time Spirit's like, oh, you know you're going to have to do that ritual again. And I'm like, oh, it's a pain in my gut. I feel it because it's so real. Whenever we do retreats and those little faceless angels show up, they all show up at one time, okay? And they get into stuff. Okay, and I'm like, look here, you little wily things, okay? It is, but it's so necessary to have this energy elevated, have your own self, have the one who lost elevated, have this spirit elevated, really begin to emotionally process the giving back into this child, and it is it's a whole thing, and we have had to do this at A Wonderful Approach. You know, all of this started back in my Mother Eagle ministry days. Okay, it's painful, but it's necessary. If not, the life will be off. It's off rhythm. And I've told someone, if you've ever seen like Zumba, and everybody's wiggling to the left and they're wiggling to the right, if you are a half second off, you're going to look crazy. You're going to look like you're out there having a seizure or whatever, because there's a rhythm and now you're off of it. And that would be your whole life, just being out of step with things, you know. You're never really the same person again. You're not supposed to be. A lot of times those situations come into our life so that we can learn from them. So learn from it, you have to. heal from it, you have to go through these rituals, and we do rituals. You have to. So, sister,
yep.
I think that you were very much in line, very, very much in line. And I wish she could have gotten to you sooner to help bring some peace and ease with the rest of her understanding of life. So it's definitely a lot there. I'm so glad you called in.
Yes. I definitely agree with that because as I was, you know, doing some additional studies, I came across multiple cultures who had rituals for such losses. And it
yeah.
wasn't specific to, you know, just, you know, tan people or light-skinned people. It was all people, all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every religion that you can think of, every tribe you could think of. And the resonating thing in all of this is that the woman who makes this decision does not go into it lightly, and that she herself must commune with the spirit that she in tune is going to give back, and that they
mm-hmm.
both must agree that this is not the time, this is not the place. I may not be in the right space to nurture and love you appropriately. Therefore, I'm asking that you be returned. And if the spirit agrees and the decision is made, that spirit transitions. And the ritual is basically a way for the mother to heal from this connection, but also continue her divine connection to her spirit child. So
mm-hmm.
I agree with Mama Seven that rituals are necessary, especially when it comes to such a divinely spiritual connection as a pregnancy.
Absolutely. You know, the topic that I wanted to speak on, but we had to get that question,
yes.
that was
yes.
these losses have the ability to change your relationship with God. Now,
yes.
there are some things that change your relationship. A death of a close family member, tragic accident. There are lots of things that are like, you know, explosive. They change. When I had my children, it changed the relationship with them. When I lost the children, it changed my relationship with God. But, you know,
right.
these events impact our relationship with God. And
yes.
anything that's strong enough to impact your relationship with God needs to be spoken on. We got to work on this. We need to talk about this. We need some help getting past this understanding because we can't ever lose that connection. We can't lose that faith that there are times when it is lost. And it's lost because
yes.
the immense amount of pain, the disappointment,
mm-hmm.
The depression that sets in after everything else, it is
yep.
real. So when it comes to these losses, you know, we have to begin to start the healing on them while recognizing that we're healing in all ways. Physically, our bodies are healing because it was preparing
right.
for this life, and now that it's not there, we have to plan emotionally. How are we going to
right.
interact with our partners? Because I've seen losses take away relationships. I've seen
yes.
loss. I've seen people not be able to get back together in this rhythm because the loss is so immense, because the pain that was exhibited was so intense that they can't even get back into the intimacies that the relationship once had. You know, so there's so much going on right there that in all of these things will have you changing / questioning that relationship with God.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And personally, I can attest to all of that. I mean, I have a spirit child who's 16 years old. I have
mm-hmm.
spirit children all the way down to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So my initial experience with this was devastating for me. Absolutely mm-hmm. devastating for me. I was a sophomore in college, found out I was pregnant, you know, scared as all life to tell my parents, and even more scared to tell my partner at the time. And the loss of that kid shut everything down for me. Everything. Mm-hmm. I remember driving home from the doctor and feeling completely numb. I can't tell you where I was, how I got back to my room, how I got in there. All I remember is going in and closing all the blinds and closing the door and not coming out. Mind you, I'm still mm-hmm. in school. I'm supposed to be going to classes and doing all this stuff. I shut all the way down. I failed that semester. I never mm-hmm. failed a class in my life because that took away my innocence of life. I mm-hmm. was the person who always wanted to have a lot of kids. I had my life plan written out. I wanted 6 kids, and I had, you know, to be a boy and a girl, and then, you know, a boy girl, or I could have a set of twins in there, and then the last 2 could be opposite, but I wanted to make sure I had 3 boys and 3 girls, and I had names, and, you know, my husband needed to look like this. I had it all worked out. But what I did mm-hmm. not have worked out was the effect of that being lost. Mm-hmm. And so I went into a clinical depression as someone on the outside looking back in, as someone who, you know, worked in a therapeutic setting for years. I was clinically depressed. Like, I should have been mm-hmm. in somebody's hospital on some type of medication mm-hmm. because I was done. And I didn't realize at the time I was done. I was functionally depressed. I would get up mm-hmm. enough to, you know, clean myself and brush my teeth just and enough. Maybe go to work, just enough. Mm-hmm. But when I came home, if I decided I was going to eat, then I ate. If I didn't want, I go back in that dark room and pull all the blinds, get underneath my cover, and that was it. And that mm-hmm. went for years until I found out I was pregnant some years later with another child. And it kind of brought me out, but at the same time, I never resolved the issue from the original situation. So all it mm-hmm. did was mask the problems. Mm-hmm. And so my life, mm-hmm. there were multiple losses after that first one. And so all it did was mm-hmm. compound the issues. I became more depressed, more questionable of my life's purpose, more questionable of God's existence and why was it necessary for me to be the one to have to deal with all of this when this Tom, Dick, and Harry over here don't do what they're supposed to do, but they got all these little kids and all this other stuff, and why is this, why me, what was me? But mm-hmm. I failed at the time to understand the lessons that were being taught. I mm-hmm. failed to listen to the spirit when it presented itself. Because sometimes these mm-hmm. spirit children come to us to give us a lesson, to give us some guided meditation, to give us something to nourish our spirit man. And we're so busy focused on, oh, my God, this is so bad, that we fail to learn the lesson or hear the spirit. And so that child mm-hmm. comes multiple times trying to get you to understand before you're not ready yet. Yep. Oh, I think I'm good. Yep. We are so ready to do some things. Sometimes we're not ready, and spirit knows you're not ready, but we're constantly calling it down, okay. and it's like you're not there yet. You're not prepared okay. yet. You're not able to nourish this spirit on this plane appropriately, therefore it can't come here. And sometimes that's not the spirit that's supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mhm.
So mm-hmm.
There are no correct. Accidents, and we have to know that. And you can know it with your mouth. You know, we can say
Lord, yes.
words.
yes.
But when you know it
yes.
in full honesty, when you know it with all of your yes. heart, when you trust God, you don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. You don't have to be defensive. You don't have to do any of those things. But it shows how much you're trusting God. And trust me, in that situation I've been in, situation so many of my sisters have been in, as your relationship with God develops, all relationships don't start off with sunshine and gumdrops and everything like that. All relationships don't start with that. Some relationships, in order for them to grow, in order for them to have lasting power, they have to go through things. This is one of the things that you go through with God. You know, some of us, oh, God left me. God did not leave you. And I understand that you're feeling you upset. right. You know, I did something wrong. There's nothing that you could have possibly done wrong. It was either time or it wasn't, you know. And so, but because it feels so personal, and it is, it's in our personal space, it's in my private areas, and it involves such a personal act between me and another person. It don't get no more personal than this, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's a lot. It's a lot. And this is why we have to have these conversations, even though they're uncomfortable, even though they're, Lord knows, when I say transparent, I'm like, look, I'm going to say it, and we're going to have to talk about it. When I say transparency, this is what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about growth and development, this can take, and it does take, young people off their marks for years. I mean, I know one situation, soror of mine, it was like her life stopped, and she became this zombie thing. And I would look at her, and I could clearly see she was not there. And being a young person at that time, myself, a very young spirit, not fully understanding what I'm seeing, but I'm looking at her, and I'm like, why is part of you missing? And she's thinking I'm being funny with her, but I'm like, no, your spirit, there's part of your spirit is not here. And she's like, yes, I lost this child. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not even all here, you know. And she wasn't understanding me, and I wasn't understanding her. But I'm sure as we both look back on this situation, we understood what was going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She was like, no, I'm not all here. Something traumatic has happened and has pushed my spirit out away from me, you know. And of course, you know, one thing that you said, afraid to tell my mom and dad, you know, I don't want to really say I'm out here like this. I don't want to say I'm having these experiences and stuff, but yet when something comes up of this magnitude, who else can help? You know what I'm saying? This is one of the reasons why we have to start working with our young people. When we did the show Millennials and Spirituality, it was such an impactful show for me, because what it let me know is that these millennials are tiny humans. You know, they are having these human experiences. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I birthed one of them humans, and it doesn't matter. They're still having human experiences and needing assistance and not really knowing how to go about this.
Right. But I agree. These are conversations that have to be had before they ever transpire, because the same conversations that we have with our young men about the birds and the bees and this is what you do, what we have with our women, our young ladies when they're transitioning into their womanhood, these are extended conversations that need to be had, because when this happens, they need to know, okay, I've had this happen. Your auntie's had this happen. Your grandma's had this happen. Uncle Vern has had this happen. Uncle Donald's had this happen. They need to know who to be able to turn to, someone who is not going to heap a bunch of coal on, well, you shouldn't have been out there doing this. No. This is not the time for that.
Yes.
The time for right now is we need to process. We need to check in on you, and we need to make sure that you're healing and processing this stuff so that it doesn't automatically stop you in your tracks and you're off your life for 15 years before you can kind of get yourself back together and keep moving. Because loss affects every aspect of your human person. It affects every aspect of your physical and spiritual self. As my sister Prentice was talking about last week, how our chakras are all aligned. Honey, let you lose something.
Yes.
You're going to have some stuff twisted and all over the place while you're trying to get this stuff together. And the most spiritual of us can't compete with how this stuff impacts you. So we have to have elders who are cognizant that our kids are going to go through these things and that they're going to need instruction. They're going to need guidance. They're going to need support. They're going to need, you know, someone to sit there and just let them cry if that's all that they have. Sometimes words aren't it. Sometimes all you have is a cry.
Or a scream.
And
depends on who's camping on.
Hey, I've had both. But those things need to happen, and they need to happen more sooner than later. Because all you're doing is you're having to go through all of this junk to get to the root of the problem. When if we had someone who could see you where you are at that time, okay, let's address this now.
Yes. Yes.
We would be better for it as a community.
Yeah, we're not going to even let it take root. We're going to get this right here. I see it. I've seen it before.
Yep.
I'm not even asking you. I'm telling you. You know, a lot of times when you see these situations, I'm like, look, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. So I'm not needing you to confirm nor deny anything. Just listen to my words, okay? This is what we got.
Right.
This is what's going on. We got a caller that wants to share some words. So I'm going to see if I can get the caller on for just a second, okay? Uh-huh. Greetings. Welcome to the show. Greetings. Nope. Okay. So I guess not. I guess that's already going to stay out. look, it's your guy, Mama, trying to say hello. Tell her, look, I don't know which one on her phone, but she is. I know. She's trying to get on. She's going to have to call in better than that, okay? But, you know, every year, A Wonderful Approach, we meet at the water, and we have this one of the many rituals that are done for these angels. And we do this every year, period. We do it because there are a lot of children in this sea of lost children. There are a lot of children. And this energy can be so incredibly overwhelming for the family. And so every year we do offerings at the sea. You can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook. I usually post that event sometime in June or July, but we must go to the water.
Yeah.
We must make offerings. We want to appease this energy. We want to let this energy know that whatever your purpose was, you know, if you have another mission in life, you have to go to your mission, you know, and it can be very, very painful. I have found with the women that I've had the pleasure and the honor of working with that the letting go is the hard part. You know, and so there are women that know that the physical aspect of the child is lost, and they had to let that go. It was taken from them. But the spiritual side of it, they're like, oh, no, no. What you mean he can go and go on another mission? I need that. I need to know that that's around me. I need to know that I can call on that energy when I feel sad. I mean, sometimes it's so obvious that energy is present. There's an immediate reaction, whether, you know, it's tears when you're not even sad, whether it's an acknowledgement of, oh, this would have been his birthday, or this was the day that I actually lost the child. There's usually some level, whether the mother realizes it or not, of recognition when it comes to this child, it never goes away. And even for the father, that doesn't know what's going on, he'll have a physical understanding, recognition, and he'll have no clue as to what this is about. Why do I feel sad right here? You know, why is Father's Day hitting me so raw every single year? And, you know, I have children. I take care of my children. Why is it hitting me raw, though? You know, it could be you're not even acknowledging, don't even know, all the children that have been lost to you. And so it's a lot. And it's one of our spiritual duties. Everyone will have that thing that they do. Everyone will have that population that they're passionate about. Like Mama Khadija is into the girls and the women. She loves that. She loves it. She loves every single bit of it. Good girls, bad girls, she doesn't even care. She loves it all. I'm like, you know. I am into spirits and child spirits. Oh my goodness. It's a painful population to work with, but I absolutely love it. I enjoy the feeling once they've all settled down, and I mean it's just a wonderful experience to have that piece of you come into peace and harmony. You know. Yeah. Now I'm gonna try this one last time, and after this, I'm not talking to you, Unique. Okay, so hold on, Unique. All right, just because it's your mom, I'm trying. Okay. Let's see. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Peace. Can you hear me? OMG. I don't know. Yo, the topic is so fire. I just kept pressing the button, mute, unmute. Duh. I'm hanging up. The phone hung up twice. I called. I was like, yo, for real? This what we doing, mothers? This what we doing today? This what we doing today? I mean, I pressed 1 at 8:30. So, okay. I'm like, oh, for real? Okay.
How you doing?
Family, how are you?
We are fine.
It is such a blessing to have both of you on the line. Thank you, Sister Niecy, for bringing this subject up. I'm going to make it short because, obviously, I've lost a lot of time. But, however, you know, being a woman that has – I've lost children. I think that I have had – I think my life over the last probably 25 years has been more about the healing process and acknowledging how those losses have affected me, not realizing that – and I am somebody who has had abortions. I've had a miscarriage, and I've had a stillborn. You know what I'm saying? And not talking about the mothers and fathers that have lost children in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. You know what I'm saying? Because that's still a loss, you know, and that's still their child. And to have that and how it affects you, you know, it's so important that we realize that we have to have somebody that we can lean on. And I think a lot of times that's where going back to those rites of passages come in at. You know, that rites of passage that you have with those young children in the beginning, and you start sharing them. First of all, we shame our young boys and girls for having children.
Yes,
they wind up pregnant, and we shame them. You know, and a lot of times the same people that are shaming them are the same people who are having sex at that age. They just didn't get pregnant. You know, we put a stigmatization. First of all, you're supposed to have children when you're younger. You know what I'm saying? May not be 13 or 16. You know what I'm saying? But there have been women that have had children when they're 13 and 14 years old. And the woman has grown up to be, you know, fantastic, and so has the child. So I think we have to get out of that stigmatization of, you know, criticizing our youth and stop demonizing, you know, intimacy, stop demonizing.
Let it be intimate.
Because intimacy and sex are two different things.
We have to allow it to be intimate. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, you have
100%.
To. And all the children and everybody who knows me, I'm that aunt that starts talking to the children at an early age. Like, you know what that is? You know what I'm saying? You know what you're supposed to do with that? You know what it's called? You know how to clean it?
You know what's loaded?
You know what I'm saying? You know what comes out? You know what? I'm that one. You know, parents have sent their children to me, and I'm that super aunt, you know? And it's been such a magnificent journey because one thing my mother has always said to me, she was like, you are such a great mother. And for so long, it irritated me because I was like, but I don't have children. She was like, yeah, but you've been a mother to so many other children. And that has, and it took me a while to realize how many people in my life have blessed me with the opportunity to be a mother to their children.
Amen.
Because it
right.
does take a village to raise a child. First of all, that's not your child. That's our child. That's not yours.
Yes.
That's ours.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's not even a possession. It's a gift to have that baby
right.
for a moment, a second, just the thought, you know what I'm saying, of being impregnated or to have a child live amongst you. It's a beautiful thing. And to be in a situation where, my brother has 7, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even his children, I'm good. You know, I'm like, okay, you're right. They're expensive. I can dress them, feed them, and send them back. Does that stop them from asking me for things? No. But I appreciate the opportunity of being able to spend time, you know, to go here, to do this or that, and I learn from them. And they're so beautiful. And we do have to heal. And touching on that subject about healing, we all have to heal. You know, we all have to take care of our wound, you know. And in taking care of our wound internally, it allows us to take care of the wound outside because Mother Earth is
Amen.
Our mother.
Amen.
And
right.
we have to
Amen.
Take care of her, you know. And so
right.
when we start doing that, it'll reflect on that. It will reflect on the inside also. So I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for presenting this platform. And I wish love and healing to everyone out there that hears this, you know, because
Amen.
It is hard, but it's not impossible.
Absolutely.
Peace.
Absolutely. Amen. Peace, peace. Look, I'm so glad you got that phone thing situated because we needed to hear that. We needed to hear
yes.
that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
One thing that was said, Niecy, you said it, Unique turned around and said it. We have to talk to our young people about this. We have to. I know in not demonizing anything about it, I know I have my oldest child is 20 and a half, and I'd be like sweating bullets. I'm like, Solomon, not now, okay? But, you know, when I explained to him, the not now wasn't, boy, those things are expensive. Now, they are expensive, but that wasn't the focal point. The focal point was wait so you can have the emotional bond that you want with both the mother
yes.
and the child. Wait so
right.
that you don't have to try to juggle the priority of school, of college and child and mother. Wait till when school's off the table, at least the first 4 years, and then you can begin to really enjoy that relationship. So the focal point has been more about waiting so that it's a good experience or as good as it can get rather than to try to lump it all together, and it's a challenge, you know. So we
right.
do need to change some of the language in which this has been expressed to us in.
Right.
We have to change. We
Absolutely.
Have to stop thinking of this as a body failure. You know, we have, Lord have mercy, enough hang-ups with our bodies. We don't need to add not near one more, okay? It's not about
Correct.
What our body does or didn't do or how it functions. And in the movies, the body did this and everything else like that. This is why I'm mad at pornography. There are a lot of reasons why I'm mad at pornography. One of the reasons is, is creating these unrealistic ideas about bodies, about intimacy, about sex, about all of that. So when it comes, when we have these unrealistic expectations of our body, and then when our body does something that we think is unnatural, but like we were speaking earlier, this is something, unfortunately, that happens. This happens. So we have to, you know, change the mindset as to what happens, what doesn't happen, what can't happen, and the cause of the happening. Stop. We have to stop taking this, you know, when you know that you've done your part, you had your little folic acid, you did all the little things that the doctor said, and you weren't skydiving and pregnant and stuff like that. Once you've done your part, you know, you have to begin to allow for some healing and some releasing of that guilt that you're carrying when it is ill-placed on you. It has nothing to do with you. You know, sometimes this is about the baby. Sometimes this is about the father. Sometimes, in my case, I really believe it was about the sibling that was birthed a year ahead of that. So, you know, we don't know enough as to the purpose as to why the baby came, why the baby left, to even place a blame here or there. So we have to begin to allow that healing to align itself with that understanding and allow that to be more God's will than necessarily our failure. You understand?
Correct. Yes. And I would like to add on that in the process of healing, make room for remembrance. This was something that, you know, changed your life for the better. At the time, we see it's not good. It's, you know, it was devastating, but it's going to change your life for the better. It's going to allow you to grow. It's going to allow you to gain some strength in some areas. It's going to allow you to mature and deal with some things that you probably weren't even aware of on both your part and that of the father. So, but in this, allow yourself to remember the connections that you had. Allow yourself to, you know, honor that child's birthday. Light a candle, send up balloons, you know, do things that honor the spirit that was sent to you, because it was sent to you for a reason. And in remembering, you continue to have that attachment, and that child is going to be with you for the rest of your life, unless that child chooses to come back and transition into your birth, your rainbow child, as they say, the child after a loss is called a rainbow child. If that spirit chooses to come back, you will see it. You will recognize it, because you will have that same connection that you did with the original child. You, it just may not have been Jane. Her name wanted to be Stephanie. So there are things that we have to do in remembering the steps that we've taken, because those steps are things that help us grow and mature and become better parents when that opportunity presents, or the better auntie, mama, or uncle, dad. Like,
that's right.
It doesn't make the situation absolve itself, because it ended on that day. It is going to always come back, as Mama Seven said. So you're going to be walking down the street and you'll be like, oh, today is June 13th. You know what? It was my son's birthday. Let me go in here and get this. Those things are going to resonate with you. And you may not even automatically have it processed. Some of us have it marked down in the calendar. I'm taking off that day. I'm going to the water. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And for some of us, that's not how we operate. But it's going to come to your remembrance, and take the time to honor them just as if they were on this planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of us that have had more than one loss, allow that allow the feelings to be separate. Allow because one loss did one thing, the second loss did something else. Allow that to be separate. Allow honor both of them, or however many you have. You know, honor your womb for having the courage to try again. You know, allow all of this to be a moment of celebration. This is why women's studies are important. And this is not about women. This is about the baby. But this is why women's studies are so important, because there's so much that we have to learn how to celebrate when we have in the past applied a very negative tone and taste to things. You know, we have to truly, truly allow our every aspect of this child, from the body, the womb that carried it, to the family that was waiting to receive it, we have to work on healing all parts of that. And then once this healing occurs, everything changes. That perception changes overnight. The hurt, what used to be only hurt and pain, can turn into a mixture of, you know, some disappointment and maybe a little hope, you know. And then it turns into, you know, it constantly is elevating. Don't do a ceremony on Saturday and think on Sunday, we're not going to have any feelings. It doesn't happen like that. You know, I would do years and years of this ritual work before I was even able to assist somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I was in there, Mom Khadija would tell you, I'm in there boohoo crying harder than everybody else, because the pain is just so real. It's so, so real. But the tears are necessary. You know, over in Africa, we have professional mourners. When someone transitions, there are people that come, and they will come to mourn with your family, for your family, for you, because they know that that mourning is a part of the healing. But when we have these little ones that don't come all the way or stay in such a short period, there's not a mourning for them. And there absolutely needs to be. There absolutely needs to be. I have on my shrine, I have a little crystal bell that represents the ancestor, you know, lived, died, transitioned, but a little bell that represents these spirits. And I made sure that the bell was pleasing to my eye. The sound I hear, you know, it does something for me. That's our kind of like our code back and forth to each other. And I've had these bells lose. I've had these bells be on another shrine, and I'm like, y'all cut it out. But, you know, it is that is symbolic for them on my ancestor shrine, because I can't continue life and having an ancestor shrine and not acknowledge that a piece of me has transitioned. Just like if anything Kosi had happened to one of my children, they would absolutely be part of that expression of me. So, you know, there are, as we're winding down, I can't believe it. I was going to extend the show. I was like, no, I don't want to extend it, blah, blah, blah. We'll be there all night. But as we're winding down, a wonderful approach, Facebook page, you're allowed to inbox me, you know. And if you don't know me personally, you don't know my number, but you're allowed to inbox me. And if you have questions about that, I would strongly suggest that you do. I strongly suggest that you take the time to find out what healing rituals, like our first caller did, and find out what is what can be done to help these feelings, and just having someone there to help you and to talk through the process. Like we discovered tonight, we knew this, but we keep getting confirmations. It takes a village. It takes all kinds. Yes. And these young people are not jumping up and down to get help. We may have to go to them. Be okay with that. Be okay with that. So I want to thank my lovely co-host for the evening. I got a text. I get texts all through the show. Like, I guess our toddler's in, I guess the toddler's in kindergarten now. I guess the toddler's in first grade now. You came and showed out, shared with us, was transparent in the hurt, in the pain, and sometimes was considered the shame. And I'm hoping that your story will go and give someone else the strength to kind of stand up and, you know, raise their hand and say, hey, I'm having this same problem. I want to start my healing process. Like, I want to move out the toddler room. I want to get in the toddler room. I want to move out the toddler room. I want to do this. I want to start my healing and my growth and really, really start to live my life, not allow my life to be negatively impacted. It's already impacted. The baby has done its job.
Right.
It has changed you. You are not the same. But it doesn't have to be a negative thing. And so that's the part that we're going to work through, work past, work over, and really begin to allow that healing to resonate within us so that even our little angels that are close by us, that are waiting to hear us call their name, that are waiting for us to, you know, just acknowledge them, they'll hear that. They'll be pleased with that. It just creates a better warmth feeling just in life. Because that clinical
yes.
depression is real. There are many people that get stuck there, and they'll say it's postmortem. If they'll say it's no, PTSD.
Postpartum.
They say all kind of postpartum.
Yes.
They'll say all kind of things to you about you. But really, what it is we need some love and we need some support and we need possibly even some counseling, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, let's get it
definitely.
In so that we can have that healing in place.
Yes.
We have to get to the prayer. I cannot believe the time has jumped on us, but I'm going to please, Sister Nisi, do us the honors of having our prayer out.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Hi.
Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for all those under the sound of my voice. Thank you for Mother 7 and this platform that she has provided to be able to unite all of the Most High's children. Thank you for every woman and every man touched by this broadcast. Father, Mother, God, I ask that you meet them where they are at this time and space and grant them the most intimate desires of their soul. For those overcoming loss of children, give them comfort in your loving arms. Give them assurance that all things work for the good of them that love the Lord, and even in our darkest hour, you stand as a beacon of light, love, and peace. I ask that you touch the fathers who knowingly and unknowingly carry the spirit of their seed with them every day. Allow them to process the losses in a manner which builds knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and strength of character in their spirit so that they can one day assure another brother that it is okay. I allow them time to grieve as men do. And to my life bearers, everyone who has carried the flame of existence, I pray for integrity in their dealings, steadfastness in their spirit, peace in the inner sanctum of their soul, confidence in their woman essence, protection against all the naysayers, negative thoughts, ideas, and other people's timelines. Father, Mother, God, give these parents sound mind. Allow them to abide in the secret place and ask the necessary questions to heal their deepest wounds. Allow families to come together, not in dissension, but in love and fellowship, to lift up the parents during their time of grief. I pray that the stigma of counseling and therapy is removed so that each and every person involved can be made anew. Remove all thoughts of self-doubt, depression, anger, disappointment, frustration, insecurity, self-hatred, confusion, worthlessness, worry, and fear from their mind, body, and spirit. I ask that once removed, you replace those feelings with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in your perfect timing, grant them with their rainbow babies. Until then, love on them in the way that only you can. I pray these requests wholeheartedly and with the experience that it can be so. Hear our prayer, Father, Mother, God, and come to the aid of your children. Amen and Ashe.
Amen.